We continue with the series based on the Bible study called Experiencing God. And we have talked about seven realities. First reality, that God is at work at all time. He's at work every day. The second reality is that God pursues a personal relationship with everyone. With you, with me, even with the worst person. And at some point in our lives, he will invite us. He will invite you and me to join him in what he is doing. In order to do that, the next reality is that God will speak to you. At some point in your life, he will speak to you through the Bible, through a sermon, through circumstances. He will speak. And when he speaks, we learn that we are going to have a crisis of belief. Or like some people say, a challenge of belief. And this morning, I would like to reflect about the next reality. Because we face that crisis. Is that real? Can I go? Can I go with Jesus? Can I walk with God? In order to do that, the next reality is that we need to adjust our life to him. So today we are going to be reflecting very briefly about adjusting your life to God. Because if we don't do that, never we are going to experience God. And today I have a verse, a challenging verse from Luke chapter 14, verse 33. And we are going to be reflecting upon very briefly about this chapter. And shall we read together? Just one verse. This is our text this morning before we pray. Shall we read together? In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Wow. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for this time we are spending in your house. Thank you for the baptism. Thank you for the time of worship. Thank you for the Sunday school. We pray for the teachers, the children, the teenagers. And we pray your blessing upon us, Lord, as we read your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Adjusting our life to God. We have been studying this experiencing God for the last 7 months. Kind of believe that. And in this unit, the author, Henry Blackaby, starts this unit saying, many of us want God to speak to us and give us an assignment. However, we are not interested in making major adjustments in our life. Let me tell you something. As we go deeper and deeper into simple Bible study, it's challenging. Because I can say that personally understand what Blackaby is saying. Perhaps you do it. You do it as well. I have shared with you many times my testimony. You know, when I was 11 years old, I was baptized. And then I have this in my heart. You know, this Gerald Doyle was an American missionary in Ecuador. He, by the grace of God, he planted 25 Baptist churches across the land. And then I remember being 11 years old, and he was speaking with a funny Spanish accent. And the children will laugh, you know. And then something came to me, you are going to be doing the same. I was 11. And then after a while, I just, oh, no, they say, carry on. God bless me with a good career. And suddenly, when I was 24, again, I heard a voice said, we had business to do. And I remember that day, I used to play as a hobby with a band in the Navy. And then after that, I remember we went to a party. And then suddenly one person came to me and he said, Freddy, you don't take drugs. Many women came to you. You say nothing. You don't smoke. You don't drink. What are you doing here? That day I walk away, I left my friend. They try to kill me because I was the lead singer and I was playing. And then I say, I'm going to consecrate my music. I'm going to consecrate my voice to the Lord, but still not committed. It was until I was 37 that in Weymouth, I decided to respond to God. You see what I'm talking about? God calls you to do something extraordinary. Only you can do it through Him. Here I am, speaking with a funny English accent. When I try to tell you, my friend, sometimes you hear the voice, and for me, you make excuses. For me, when I received the calling to do what I do, I was not willing to change my lifestyle. I didn't want to change my friends. I didn't want to change the way I dress. I didn't want to change the music I was listening. The second thing, I was afraid that others may look down upon me for my decision. You have a wonderful career, Freddie. What are you going to do? For me, I allowed my family and others to persuade me to stay where I was instead of going with God. I was afraid of the unknown. As I looked at this reason, I struggled. And thank you, Ricardo, for your testimony. Because we do struggle. We wonder, is that real? Can I change? You know yourself. The dark side of your life that only you know. Not even your spouse know. Your children, your neighbor. God called you, my friends. And then what happened? When I think back, it's crazy. What is crazy about is that I kept asking others to help me know what was God's will for my life. Now, okay, we need to hear the counselor from people. But sometimes people will not have the right advice for you, even people in churches. Can you remember Paul? No, sorry, Peter? Peter is walking on water. When you read the scriptures, you never hear one of the disciples, come on, Peter, you can do it. Everyone, and poor Peter, thinking. Paul was going to preach in some places, and they will say, no, Paul, don't go there. They're going to put you into prison. They're going to kill you. You know what Paul says? You know, Paul didn't say, oh, God will protect me from all danger. Instead, he said, I am ready to lay down my life for the name of the Lord Jesus. The problem is, my friends, that many of us don't like change. We want everything to always be the way it has always been. We don't want change. We want the status quo. And that's the problem in many churches. It feels comfortable. It feels safe. They are set in their ways. And we don't want to change. You know the problem with that kind of Christianity? It doesn't demand faith. When you step into the unknown, knowing that God is with you. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. But the judge shall live by her faith. But we are proud. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, shall we read together? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, my friends. You know, if anything that we need to understand is that God will put us into predicaments that will require us to put our faith in him and not in our own resources. We want to do it on our own. So when the crisis comes, we need to trust him. We need to trust that he will do something that you cannot do. I cannot change. I will become more committed when I stop doing this or that or, you know. Remember Moses? Moses has a crisis. You know, Moses now is comfortable. Now he has a family. He has been 40 years away and now he's a respectable man. And the Lord says, now go. Now, if we start thinking about, it's right for him to say, no, He is a criminal. The moment he touched Egypt, he's going to be in prison. The Pharaoh can kill him just like that. Maybe he's thinking, I cannot speak. I would say, you know, I cannot talk. You know, God, that Moses has a problem. But God says, go. So Moses has to adjust his life. Adjusting your life to God is the same. You said, well, the moment I read more the Bible, the moment I change, I will be more committed. You need to come as you are. And now you need to adjust your circumstances, your job, your home, your finance. You need to adjust. You need to adjust your relationships. You know, how you relate to your family, to your friends. Maybe you know that you have business associates. You know that that is quite dodgy. You walk away. You know. You know, you need to adjust in your thinking, your prejudices. Sometimes in churches, we can see something outside, but sometimes you may have a prejudice. If you don't change your prejudice, the Lord will not bless your church. The Lord will not bless your life. The Lord will not bless the city you are living on. You need to change your potential. You say, I can do it. The Lord can do it. You need to change your past. You have bitterness in your house, in your heart. You need to adjust your life, in your commitments, how much committed you are to your family, the church, your jobs, your plans. You need to change your actions, how you pray, how you give, how you serve. You need to change. You need to adjust. You believe that God can do something special through this church, through your life. But there is a challenging verse. The words of Jesus. These are not my words. Shall we read it together? In the same way. Wow. Let me tell you something. Chapter 14, read it, of Luke contains some very difficult words spoken by the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to demonstrate to you. When we read the context of this verse, what is before or maybe what is after, I'm going to read from verses 25 to 27. This is the same Jesus, okay? Large crowds were traveling with Jesus and turned to them. He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Wow. This is very difficult. Just very few Christians, they don't struggle with this word. But I must confess, I do struggle when I read it, when you read these words. Because actually, Jesus is saying, anyone who doesn't hate, does Christ really wants us to hate our friends and family? Jesus wants me to hate people? I thought God is a God of love. The power of love that some people preach. What's going on here? What's going on? Well, one Bible commentator says that hate in this context, so that's the reason why all we need to be careful how we read it, is a Semitic way of expressing preference. Now, it's like, you go to London or some parts in London, and you need sometimes children speaking in a language I can't understand, having problem enough to understand English. You know what I mean? In it. Or something like that. Do you understand what I'm trying to? That's what he's saying. You know, you go to New York and sometimes we're, oh, you know, I was so proud. I have my certificate of American English. I learning everything. And that was in Texas. And I go to Philadelphia, get off the plane, and suddenly they were talking. I phone my wife and say, I'm going to stay in my room for 2 months until I understand what they're talking. Yeah, that's what he's talking about. Okay? So it's about preference. And now let's go back to another verse to understand very clearly. Verse 18. Now, if you check the heading in your Bible, perhaps, it talks about what? A banquet. So Jesus speaks about a king who invites people to come freely to a banquet. And he said, go and invite them. And what happened in verse 18? They said, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first say, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Preference. That's the kingdom of God. God is calling you, my friend. God has been calling you maybe for a long time, and you have not responded. You are making excuses. The Lord Jesus Christ here in this chapter said that when you put yourselves first, you will lose your life. When you make Jesus our priority, you will be able to have a better view of yourself and your neighbors. You remember first commandment, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, preference. And then when we do that, we can love myself. I feel that I am, God has called me, and then I can love my neighbors. But Jesus says in verse 28, he said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower, won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? So when you come to Jesus, Jesus wants you to understand that he has to have the first place in your life. Preference. But sometimes we made excuses. Like I did years ago. If we want to learn something from this chapter, some scholars say there is only two main lessons. First, be aware of the temptations to make excuses for not obeying God. Be careful. Don't make excuses. Second, be aware of boasting about what we will do without being committed to do it. Be aware. Sometimes they say, well, I cannot do it. My friends, we need to adjust. Let me give you an example. Abraham, when he was called. He's a wealthy man, and he is living okay. And the Lord says, leave your land, and I'm going to make a great nation from you. He has to adjust. He has to move from one place to another. He can be comfortable there, but he has to adjust. Let's think about Moses. He has to leave the desert again. He is having a good life. He is having family. He is comfortable, and he has to return to Egypt. He has to adjust. We see David. He has to leave the sheep, and then he has to go and fight with this giant. And he became a king. Jonah have to leave his prejudice. My friends, check it out. And I have to check it out myself. Do we have prejudice in our life? The blessings of the Lord will be stopped. That happened to Jonah. Jonah have to leave behind his prejudice. Wow! The whole city. The disciples have to leave. Matthew have to leave the money. The fishermen have to leave what they do. Paul, you see, leave behind. And one of the greatest examples for me is in 1 Kings. Let's turn to the Old Testament, if you have your Bible, or you will follow on the screen. I told you a few weeks ago I was going to use some illustrations from Elisha. I used it last Sunday and 2 Sundays. Today we are going to get an example, an illustration from his calling. So if you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 and 20. This is the calling of Elisha. So let's read it. What happened when Elisha called to Elisha? So Elisha is about to go back to finish his ministry. And we read, so Elisha went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elisha went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elisha. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and he said, and then I will come with you. Now, what's happening here is that when Elisha found Elisha, this young man was with other, they were working on the field, plowing the fields. Without any explanation, Elisha walks up to Elisha and flings his mantle over the shoulder, and Elisha and then continues to walk. Now Elisha said, wait a minute, wait, I'm going to say goodbye to my mom, I'm going to say goodbye to my dad, and then I'm going to explain what happened, and I'm going to follow you. And then in a rather indifferent way, Elisha said, well, go ahead, who is stopping you? Elisha did that because he knew that only God can call us to do certain things, that if indeed God was in this, he had already began the work in the heart of this young man. God called you. Maybe right now you said, what is this about faith? Do I have to be committed? My friends, God has something special for you to do that only you can do it. Nobody else can do it. You know what Elisha, verse 21 is wonderful. He says, so Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elisha, and he became his servant. Wow. This is radical. He took his thing of oxen, slaughtered them, and then cooked them with a fire and make a farewell party. What was Elisha doing? He was revealing his preference. He wanted to serve God, and there was no turning back. Destroy. Elisha did what Jesus talked about in Luke 14. Preference. Preference. Now, if we put the two stories together, Elisha burned the plow of the past and put his hand on the plow for the future. Where are we, my friends? Where are you? Is God showing you he wants to do through your life? Where are you? In the Bible study we are doing, Henry Blackaby says, when God invites you to join him in his work, he has a God-sized assignment for you. I don't know what is God's assignment for you, but God is calling you, my friend. You will quickly realize that you cannot do what he is asking on your own. You need him. If God doesn't help you, you will fail. And this is the crisis of belief, when you must decide whether to believe God or what he wants to do through you. Where are you? Has God been calling you? Has God saying to you, try this? It doesn't have to be a big thing. God can call you to serve with very small things that becomes very powerful. But we need to adjust our life to God. In my group, I gave the story of this old lady who was in the church. She was in a wheelchair. And she said, I cannot do anything, but Lord, I want to do something for you. And you know what she did? She even regrets not living, you know, if you are in a wheelchair, you want to live in the ground floor, but she was living in the first floor. You know what she did? She said, well, she sensed that God says, prepare some flyers. So she got some flyers, put the address of the church at the back, and she will stand every day, every morning between 10 and 12. She will pray and will throw this leaflet through her window. After a few months or year, there was a baptism service. And two young men, like Ricardo, they been baptized. And the young man stand up and said, I received the calling. In one corner, I pick up a flyer and I read a message. And because that flyer, I surrendered my life to Jesus. And now this lady in a wheelchair, I don't know who that person is. And this person said, I am. And this man became one of the most powerful preachers in Latin America. You see my point. Your preference. Serve the Lord. I finish with the last verses of this difficult chapter. In the same way, this is Jesus. Those of you who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. My friends, our Lord Jesus invites you to the banquet. It's not an easy road, but if you are a disciple, it requires discipline. It doesn't say hate instead of love. It talks about preference. Preference. Our Lord is declaring that if you would like to be his disciple, then the cleanse of this discipleship might have priority over personal relationships, interests, and ambition. Followers of Christ have no competing loyalties. May the Lord help us. As you read these verses, do you have ears to hear? Do you have a heart to be open to him? Will you adjust your life to him? What is it that God is calling you to do? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Father, we want to give you glory with our lives. It's not about what we can do or not can do. Help us to adjust our lives to you. I pray for that person this morning who has been touched by your word. Perhaps today or yesterday or 1 month ago or 1 year ago. Help him or her to respond. And Father, I pray that they will be able to prefer you. So they will be able to hear your sweet voice and to follow you. So they will be giving you glory and honor with their lives. I pray for this church. Father, help us to give you the preference. Help us to surrender all our lives to you, to serve you, and to enlarge your kingdom in this corner of the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.